Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Round one in the bank. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Hello, Bottoned, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. In the bank. It's in the bank. Not even in the book. It's gone straight to the bank. It was a money round.
Some people have a little bit interest to pay, but let's talk about it. So, what a round! I'm going to go through it with you, and we'll talk about it. But I thought the heavyweights came through, and there's some worries for some teams.
Yeah, look, honestly, the first game, Melbourne versus South East Melbourne, fantastic crowd, you know, Celebrity Row filled with people that we actually recognise. Scottie Pippen's there, you know, and Andrew Gaze turns into a fanboy during the third quarter when Scottie's on the commentary. Honestly, he was such a fan. Rubbing his arm, like, I thought he thought Scottie Pippen was a genie. If I rubbed his arm enough, maybe
Michael Jordan will come out.
No. But if I rub it enough, maybe this game will be half decent because apart from everything that was going on, it was just such an awful game to start the season with. It's one of the worst I've ever seen to start a season. And we were so excited about great crowd and everything. You sort of go, okay, let's hope the round picks up from here. Mm. And fortunately, of course, it did.
Yeah, no, it was great. Well, but let's go to Melbourne first. Southeast were bad, but Melbourne were very good. And,
absolutely. What did you think? Yeah. I thought the game mirrored Dele's game, Matthew Dellavedova. He started off 12 points. It's a 29-24 first quarter, something like that. And you're sort of thinking, okay, this has potential. By the second quarter, Dele's cooled off. The game's starting to cool off. He's got 17 at halftime. Second half, Dele finishes with 17 for the game. So I think the Dele story is the story of the game in terms of interest level. It just basically went down. And South East Melbourne, they just got nothing from Mitch Creek.
Mitch Creek and Will Cummings, they're three bigs. They shot 10 of 40 between them.
Yeah. Oh, my
10
God.
10 of 40. So you're just not going to win games with that. And then they backed up, and we'll talk about that in a second against Perth. But that was good. So, look, I think the one that intrigued me, and I want to get your feeling, Reece Vaig. I hope I'm saying Vaig. Is that right? I think I don't know. Like, he was in the Boomers and he's gone away, and then they made it like a big signing. He played 8 minutes in the first game. Right. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, is he injured? Right. And then in the second game, he played 12 minutes. He didn't score. So I'm not sure what his role is in with that. And in the second game, because we'll go there now. I mean, Tyler Cook, 23, Mitch Creek, 23, 20, Will Cummings, 18. Yep. You know what I mean? So they were good. But I just thought he would play a bigger role, mate.
I think what's happened is he's gone away and had both of his arms tattooed fairly heavily, and now he can't really get his shot off with the same level of efficiency. I think that's all that's happened. And they're going, mate, you know, go to a tattoo parlor and get them removed.
Boom, boom. Okay, let's go to game two of the round. Brisbane Bullets versus your mighty Adelaide Hawks.
Don't. Adelaide Hawks. You're going well. They're not my team.
Was it 12?
I think 15. 15-0. It was 12-0 in the Tasmania game. Tasmania got off to 12.
That's right. Perth.
But these guys are out 15-0, and they were up by 16 at one stage.
28-18 to finish the quarter, by the way.
Yeah.
So they scored 28 points in the first quarter, then 12, 13, and 18 for the next three.
Yeah. So the next three, they were back to what we expect of them, which is very little, if anything. And in the first quarter, it would have been wonderful for a 36ers fan, which I might say to you, Brad, I'm not. If I'm a fan of any team right now, I love seeing what the Tasmania Jack Jumpers do. I really enjoy New Zealand and Cairns. There's a bunch of teams I enjoy watching, and the 36ers is certainly not one of them. And that game against Brisbane showed why. I mean, the early going, Brisbane piddling around, you know, Sobey misses a dunk on the break and then looking for a call. And, you know, they were just not quite with it. And then when
go on. So I was going to say, do you know what really worries me about Adelaide is body language when things aren't going well. That's a telltale sign. And unfortunately, when I was playing for the Kings, we had that as well. Right. And I remember, people call it the violet crumbles, whatever you want to call. If you go hard against Adelaide right now, that they've got no beef to come back at you, and that's what it showed in these two games.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, the second game against Melbourne obviously was considerably better, but and that first quarter would have had their fans very excited about, oh, you know, maybe the preseason form was all wrong. But I'm just seeing this year as I saw last year. Last year, they beat the Phoenix Suns, first NBL team to beat an NBA team.
And they came home. Haven't done anything since.
That was their year, right there, one game wrapped up. And so I just don't see much different. I don't see where the changes are going to come from. I can't see.
Look, I don't know either. I mean, Alex Starling, you know, like, no. I mean, I like him, but he's not going to be the difference maker. I think he's a, you know, in the league as a third import, you can manage that, right? Well, they've only got two imports at the moment. We know that, right? Jacob Wiley, I love his enthusiasm. I love his energy, right? And I think, again, but they just don't have that, you know, they don't have that go-to guy. They literally don't, you know, like Jalen Adams for the Kings, you know, Robinson if you go, or Tyler Harvey for Illawarra, or, you know, I mean, I don't know where it's going to come from, mate.
And Jacob Wiley is a complementary player. He's a sort of import you want. Yeah, when you're surrounded by reason, guys are going to score a lot, guys are going to do all kinds of things, and you want someone that's a glue guy, that's him. And he would be a perfect fit.
You look at a Milton Doyle. He will give you 18 and what, 8, 10, whatever, every game. I love him, right? Then you go to Bryce Cotton. I mean, there's only one Bryce Cotton, but still with him. And even Jordan Usher, I mentioned that last week, I really like him. But, so let's stay with Adelaide at the moment. It is a little bit worrying, and I'm not sure where they're going to get what they can. I mean, I don't know, mate. I mean, that Brisbane game, Sam McDaniel, what about him? He came out well, didn't he? But,
Look, I've got this to say about Adelaide, and that is that every year, everyone in the media does their pre-season predictions, right? As to who's going to win it all, who's going to make the four, all that sort of stuff. And I don't recall a year where it's been universal that a particular team's going to finish dead last. Everybody thinks Adelaide's going to finish dead last. Now, everybody can't be wrong. So, I don't see a lot of hope.
Well, unless they do something different. And, you know, it was interesting to see Jerome Randle in the house. Did you see that?
Yeah, I know. But I'm watching 57 now.
I mean,
you're hoping that in 2024 he's the same as he was in 2017. Yeah, sorry.
He can't. He's had a knee reconstruction. I'm sure it's hard to come back and everything like that. Another interesting one, and then we'll finish with Adelaide. Nick Marshall, I don't know, there was limited minutes. I don't know if there's something there. I was expecting, you know, there was a lot of talk about him and a lot of hype, but limited minutes, limited production. Thoughts on him?
Yeah. Look, let's just jump off him and the thoughts are on CJ at the moment. I think he's finding it difficult as a head coach to get the balance right, get minutes mix right, get who should be on at certain times in the game and who shouldn't be. I thought the whole substitution pattern was erratic. And, CJ, really, the first year he came here, he inherited a team that Jeff Van Groningen had put there. And so you sort of gave him a pass for the first year. Then last year started off with the win over the Phoenix Suns, and he's picked pretty much the team he wanted. Mm. They ended up in, you know, not going so well. And now here we are in year three. I reckon he's had two strikes at bat, and he's up on strike. He's coming up to strike three, and you know what that usually means, Brad?
Yeah,
you don't see out the season.
No, he would be very worried, I would think. Let's jump
Brisbane.
To Perth.
Come on, hang on, quick, Brisbane. What do you think? Yeah, what do you think of after quarter time?
Okay, yeah, after quarter time, I felt that they should have never been in that position because I'm not rating Adelaide, right?
No.
So I sit here and go, I think Brisbane are where I expected them to be, and I never thought they would lose that game. I want to see them against someone. Do you know what I mean? Before I can make decisions. I'm loving, I think Aaron Baines is looking comfortably at 12 and 13 in only 21 minutes on court, which I think was great. Tyrell Harrison is back and he's given them the thing, but everything goes through Nathan Sobey in this team this year, to me. This team is built around him. If he gets going, they get going. I like Chris Smith, the new import. Shannon Scott's good. I like what they've got. Isaac White will give him a bit of punch, but Sobey's the key. And when he got going and he had 18 points, but from 18 shots, buddy, mind you, but when he gets going, they get going. So I don't think they'll be in the playoffs. That's my gut feeling at the moment.
Because of what you just said, it all hinges on Nathan. And, and you know, Nathan has had one truly outstanding year in this league, and that was back
under Jolly Rider
36ers. And he was most improved, and you know, he won a whole bunch of things. And since then, he's just given us glimpses of that at times. I mean, the guy's an extraordinary athlete and can do amazing things, but you just don't get that week to week to week to week.
Challenge. That's his challenge now. But I'll tell you, can I just a little shout out? What about Rocco Sikarski? 28
seconds. How good was that?
A dunk.
How good was that?
Two rebounds, a block. It was bloody awesome.
He was fantastic. Same here. I was like, there was no reason to keep watching that game, but I sort of stuck out because I thought, well, maybe Rocco hits the floor. And I mean, it could have given him a bit more than 28 seconds, I'd have thought. But if you work that out, basically half a minute, what his numbers were, and you multiply that by 80, mate, which would give you a game.
I was thinking, can you imagine him in the, can you imagine him in the office? In the change room afterwards? Hey, coach, mate, I had 2 points in 30 seconds, right? You play me 40 minutes, right? I've got 80 points. No, I've got 120, 160 points for you. I've got 35 rebounds. What are you doing?
19 I am Will blocks. Chamberlain.
Very funny. All right, talk to me. Perth at home against Tasmania. Great game.
What a beauty.
Usher. Jordan Usher.
Yeah, Usher was phenomenal. He really was phenomenal. That's one of the most impressive debuts that I've seen from an import. We've seen some great ones across the journey, Brad, I know, but he was dazzling. But I've got to hand it to Tassie. They came out and they were playing such fierce defense. They were really committed defensively. And that's how they got the 12-0 lead at the start. It was at the defensive end creating stuff for them out of defense, and that they were really good. But once Perth sort of knuckled down, Bryce got going and Usher just took the game apart, and then Alex Saar comes off the bench, and now they had just a bit too much for Tassie, but they wouldn't go away. The Jack Jumpers wouldn't go away.
Do me a favor, just watch. I don't know if you see stats and everything, but watch. Get on the NBL website, look for some stats. Watch Tasmania. They will always have four or five guys in double figures, and if it's four, the fifth guy will be 9 points. You know, something like that.
Yep.
And they just share that ball, and they pass, cut. They are as a purist that we are, Boddy, and I'm sure some listeners, and if not all listeners that are listening to us, are purists as well. They are a delight to watch. They are a basketball delight. I love what they bring. Man, I am just loving Milton Doyle more. Every time I think of Milton Doyle now, I have Joey Wright in the back of my mind going, he's my favourite player in the NBL. And when Joey's giving that type of thing, you know, right? And I just think, I thought Jack McVeigh did. What a loss for Adelaide that kid was, man. Jeez, how they let him go.
They've had a few.
Bryce, I thought, was a little bit underdone, but I thought he was great. But to me, for them to go deep Perth, Keanu and Bryce have to be unstoppable night in and night out. They looked exhausted against Southeast in game two.
Yeah, I thought Keanu was trying to find his way a bit in the first game against Tasmania. Sometimes I wonder, Brad, if a player gives enough credit to their success, to their environment. Like Keanu Pinder played in Adelaide,
and we all thought
he was just the worst player or one of the worst players in the league. He goes up to Adam Ford in Cairns. His first year, he's the most improved player in the league. He's outstanding. And his second year under 40 in Cairns, he again wins the most improved. So he's improved again from what he was before. He's become an MVP candidate before he gets injured. Right. Now, that's an environment in which he's thrived. So at that point, you sort of go, okay, are you staying in that environment? Are you recognising that environment? Or are you going to try and win a championship at a recognised club that's got the history and you're from Perth, all those sort of things. So he goes back there. I just thought he didn't look anywhere near as comfortable or as free in the Perth offence as he did
in Cairns. I'd like to see a little
I'm going to watch that.
Biggest, you need to watch that. The biggest thing for me was that Perth gave up 110 points to a Southeast Melbourne team. Right, and that's the big thing. You can't be. I mean, they scored 99. They don't have a problem scoring Perth.
No,
give up to 110, I thought, whoa, I know you're on the road. That's game two, mate. Like, we're not, you know, we're not in the middle of December here after, you know, 25 games or 20 games and, you know, it's Christmas Day and you're like, oh, I'm exhausted. No, this is game two. So, anyway, let's move on. New Zealand Cairns. I expected what I got out of Cairns. So that's exactly what I thought. What did you think?
I actually thought Cairns were a chance to win that until I saw who they had missing from that first game. So I'm quite prepared to wait for Cairns for a few weeks to become the
team.
But
I thought, what about Parker Jackson Cartwright?
Yes. Yeah, very good. Very good. He impressed me a great deal, as had, I've forgotten the young man's name, Crawford from the Tasmania Jack Jumpers, the new point guard, who's a 33-year-old veteran who looked really good in the opening, particularly in the opening quarter against Perth. He was good. And again, you look at this other kid now, Parker Jackson Cartwright, he was very good. Yeah, there was some great new faces to like. You know, and those were there, right there among them.
You meant Jordan Crawford? Is that who you're meaning? Point guard for Tasmania, the little one.
I liked him. Him and Jackson Parker Cartwright sort of reminded me of each other a little bit, you know. But I guess that might just be because of their size. But that's a good team, New Zealand. That's a good team. They're going to be around.
From what I hear, William McDowell White back this week.
Excellent. And for Cairns, you know, last year they picked up Sam Wardenberg. This year they've picked up Sam Meninga, and Adam Ford apparently has promised the fan base that from this point forward, every year that he's in the job, he's going to recruit a Sam.
I would too. Sam Meninga, I hope I said that right, 17 points on 7 of 11 shooting, so that's fantastic. Illawarra, Sydney.
Quite annoying. My God, you're hitting threes and you're running back without even looking at them, feeling it. Six of eight and the 3-point, he was terrific.
I obviously called the game down there, and it was interesting because he was in the five spot at some stages. Right now, that's Quatnoy, who's a three-man in this league, was playing the five. And I just love what Coach Mahmood is doing, because what he basically said is you set screens at flare. They didn't have an answer to it. Now, he didn't hit all his threes by being in the five spot, but I just, you know, this is the versatility that they've got. But I thought Jalen Adams had 20 points, and I thought he was great. If I go to Jonah Bolden, because, you know, obviously the relationship there.
He's going to get better.
He'll get better. Yeah, he'll get better. Jalen Galloway, oh, man, that kid. Oh,
yeah.
18 points, just keeps going. I like what they do, and I'm a big fan of Jordan Hunter. You know that. He always just, you know, gives what they need.
I thought Sydney was the team of the round, actually. I thought that was the most impressive performance.
I honestly thought, and you know, yes, I'm a Sydney Kings man, I thought if there was ever going to lose to Illawarra right now in this, you know, aura that Sydney is, back-to-back champions going for three, I thought they're going to lose on Saturday night. This is game one. Kings are underdone. They're without DJ Hoag, Illawarra. Three-game win last year, blah, blah. But I'm going to come back to that because they were pretty
– honestly.
I will Dan Greeter. Well done. He played.
I'm going to say two things. Jacob Giacomasse, if you're going to get 12 players in the first quarter, you're kidding yourself. It's a 10-minute quarter. You're kidding yourself. Well, you're trying to find a combination in that and that many players in that amount of time. That's just silly. He was carrying on like a pork chop because he wasn't getting what he wanted. But, I mean, give some guys a chance to sort of get a group of five to get a bit of a groove going. I mean, it was Dan Greter who got him back in that game. He was absolutely fantastic. He was 7 points in a row there to close the third quarter. He's hustling in the press.
Yeah.
He's doing everything. He's telling you. He's showing his teammates this is how we go about it. And look, I'm not a fan of Tyler Harvey. I'm sorry, I'm not. He just takes so many bad shots, and he's a coach killer because one out of two of those bad shots goes in.
Yeah.
So you sort of go, oh,
but you know,
well,
what was interesting on Saturday night, he shot 5 of 10 from the three.
I know.
Which I was like, wow, I couldn't believe that. It looked like not that high. That's 50%. That's phenomenal, you know. So
that is phenomenal. But so many of them would just like pull up and just take a shot from 2 meters outside the 3-point line, and you know, it troubles me because that's not basketball that's going to win anything for you. That's going to make you look good, but you ain't going to win shit.
No, you're right.
The problem with that, what I saw in the first round, was that too much of our game is going toward the NBA style. Pick and roll, drive, kick to the corner. That's the NBA game. And we saw at the World Cup that if the USA doesn't send its absolute elite, that game doesn't stack up against what the Europeans do, which is play basketball, move the ball around. Tasmania Jack Jumpers, move the ball around, find the open player, give up a good shot for a great shot every time. Okay? They're going to be successful as a result of their game style. But I think ours has always been a hybrid of the European and NBA game. And now that we're getting G League coaches in and people from the NBA, we're steering in that direction. And I don't necessarily think it's in our best interest when you look at our talent.
You know, I'm old school, and I love what you see from New Zealand, where they move the ball, set, you know, good offensive sets and everything like that. Anyway, the next two games we've spoken about, Adelaide obviously lost to Melbourne and South East beating Perth. Mate, why don't you give me your best moment for the round?
Well, I just want to give away, before I do, I want to say one thing. South East Melbourne Phoenix, after that first game, they were 30 up on Perth. After their first game, both of these teams should have been, you know, swabbed afterwards just to check that, you know, everything is kosher. Cause that was amazing. Now, my moment is in New Zealand. It's Tom Abercrombie, who's, as they like to say these days, a friend of the show. But we've had Tom on, and he is a fabulous human being as well as a great basketball player. Was playing his 400th NBL game, all for the New Zealand Breakers. He is the quintessential breaker. Mm-hmm. And his 400th game, big crowd there to see him. And Mo DiMaggio's coach recognises that and does what a good coach does, runs the very first play of the game as a backdoor situation for Tom. Nice lob pass, slam dunk. And what a way to open your 400th NBL game.
Amazing.
The crowd went bunter. That, to me, was my best moment. But there were many that I enjoyed after that horrible first game. What was yours?
Well, mine is into the Sunday last game of the round with the Phoenix playing Perth. And, oh, my goodness, Tyler Cook's dunk on Saar. That dunk that he did over Saar, I was like, oh, my God. And then the little talking and Tyler's letting the crowd know. And I thought that was awesome. If that's what we're going to expect this year. Because he did an amazing dunk at the Blitz as well. So this guy can get up, man. I'm a very, very big fan of Tyler Cook.
You know, when Alan Williams comes back.
Yeah.
There's a couple of clubs who might be looking for that import.
And, I and hear you.
Looking to snap
I
him
hear
up. I mean, Adelaide, for one, geez, that could do with him.
Oh, you know.
Anyway. Give me your Rosenrattler. Let's go the other way.
We started a little bit, and I'm going to go, and I am a fan of Illawarra. They are, you know, a second team of mine in a sense because, you know, I've caught a lot of games and I like the players down there and the staff. But, man, I cannot believe that how you cannot be ready for a freeway series. I mentioned it briefly before, but I'll go into more detail now. You've won three games. Your import went down in game one where, you know, anything in last year where anything could have happened and everything. They had a shit season. Sorry, excuse my language. That's the best way I can put it, right? They've just had the season from hell. Your game one against the defending champs who are underdone, and they come out and deliver that. Like, they the energy was there at times, not for 40 minutes, right? The energy was
not
there. Jacob had to call, like, felt like 50 timeouts to get these guys going. I'm thinking, this is game one, mate. How can you not, like, the coach shouldn't have to be revving you up in game one against the defending champions, right? And I just thought.
At home in front of a big crowd.
In front of you, I'm just like, I was actually in shock watching the game. Now, I thought Kings were very good, but there were times, every time they'd make a run in Illawarra to be 8 points or, you know, 6 points, and then boom, 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 and quite not wide open three. Wide open. Like, I love Quatnoy, but what does he do? That's what he does, right? He's a three-point shooter. He shot 10 shots in the game. 8 of them were threes. Get him off the three-point line.
Yeah.
Like, just how – I just could not – believe, well, you know, Jalen Adams having 20, that was a tough 20. Like, you know, there's not a lot that can done there. But you mentioned, you know, 12 players in the first quarter. And it just sort of shocked me where I thought to myself, you know, Jalen Galloway, I haven't seen anyone make him take a jump shot yet, right? It's all at the rim. Now, don't get me wrong, it's hard to stop him when it's downhill, but it just, I just couldn't believe that that's what they coughed up in game one. I have to be honest. And I was just thinking, I was expecting them to win that game. I really was. I thought this is going to be tough for the King. And I was speaking to Paul Smith before the game because he was there. He was extremely nervous about that game. He knew where the Kings are at and what Illawarra were going to be like, and they weren't. So I thought it was extremely disappointing. Sorry, I've just rolled on there. Give me a nod, Nasty.
It's from the same game. I am sick to death of seeing flops rewarded. I'm sick to death of seeing flops for a start, whether they're offensive, where someone touches you and you throw your head back and you know, stumble about as though somebody's bashed you with a baseball bat, or whether it's defenders that look like they've been hit by a sniper from the stands and the slightest touch end up 10 feet, 20 feet in another direction, sliding on their ass. And I'm so sick of seeing that. I loved the basketball we watched at the World Cup. It was phenomenal basketball, played at an incredible standard. But those European teams, they've been watching too much soccer because the amount of flopping that Germany, Serbia, all of them flop. And I hate seeing that. And so when Angus Glover gets, someone brushes past him and he goes flying, you know, absolutely flying. And then the ref, I think it was Nico at that time, buys it and gives him the benefit of that call. My God, I just want to turn the TV off and scream. So this is a blight on our game. Don't reward it. Give the coach a tech foul. That's the way to solve
it. Yeah,
give the coach a tech foul. Because all coaches talk about, oh, yeah, we hate seeing flopping. But every one of them just sort of, you know, walks around and is a little bit happy when they get the benefit of a flop call. So they're not going to stop it. They're not going to stop it because they're going to get the benefit of it here and there. So they hate it. But, hey, we got that one, so good for us. Now, you suspect the guy flopped because he went too far on the amount of contact. You give the coach a tech foul. You reckon anyone's going to flop on that team for the rest of that game? It's over. It's finished. It's done. And that's the solution. The fact that we don't have the courage to do that. And then we still have umpires rewarding that nonsense. You know, I heard in the Perth
game,
listen
to you from Adelaide umpires. Come on, mate.
Come on. Oh, referees, whatever. Okay. The point, officials. Okay. But like Jesse Wagstaff, like I heard Damian Martin say that on the Perth call that he's taken more charges than anybody in the league. I believe that. I think he's absolutely taken more charges. I reckon he's taken 30 charges in his career, real charges. And then there's another 1,000 where someone opened a door to the canteen and a breeze came through and he fell over and he got rewarded for it. So, I mean, seriously, I just hate it.
All right,
so sorry.
Fair enough.
I know you had a rant. That was the bite rant.
You had a rant. Before we go out, just a quick one-worder. I just want who's going to win. Okay, I'm starting Thursday night. I'll be saying the home team first, obviously.
Okay.
New Zealand, Brisbane.
New Zealand.
Agreed. Cairns, South East Melbourne, Phoenix.
Such a hard one. I'm going to go with Cairns on the basis that they have their team in place.
Okay. I wanted to go opposite you, but I agree. I think Cairns are going to get it. Yes.
Yeah, but if to hear McCall, you know, there's a few still on the sidelines, then we'd have to review.
Yeah, that's going to be hard. Armstrong will be back, is what I'm hearing though.
Right.
So the point guard, I'm really interested to see him. Okay, Tassie at home versus Sydney.
That's the game of the round.
Absolutely.
By a country mile, and I'm just going to give it to Tassie. But without any degree of confidence, Sydney was very impressive for a team that's sort of way.
Kings. Yeah, no, I can't go after seeing Saturday. No, after seeing Saturday night,
they'll execute you. Yeah, they'll execute you.
All right, I'm not even going to ask you Perth Adelaide because we know that one. Right at Perth, by the way, Illawarra Phoenix.
Phoenix, especially if they lose to Cairns, they'll bounce back again.
If it's a half game, I'm going Illawarra, but because of the full game, I'm going Phoenix. Brisbane, this will be a tough one too. This will be just Saturday night, Brisbane Cairns.
Yeah, that is a tough one. I because it's at home, I'm leaning toward Brisbane.
Speaking of games of the round, Melbourne versus Tassie.
Yeah, again, you see, what do we say? The two games of the round, Tassie's involved in both of them because we love the kind of basketball they bring. Melbourne will win that, but that'll be another cracker.
Yeah, then we won't even ask Sydney Adelaide. We'll go from that one. Okay. Mate, Sydney, thank you. Look. Yeah, we won't even have a look. Thank you to everyone. Listen out. We're going to be getting back to doing interviews with some special guests, but we wanted to just get the first few out the way and have chats about games. Boddy, thank you, mate. And please, everyone, make sure you check out Boddy's blogs. They're bloody awesome. BOTINAGY.com. Boddy Nodge at... Sorry, BoddyNodge.com. Brilliant. There was a real... I loved your ones about this one. Tom slams into his 400th and now the NBL is rolling. All your articles, mate. You're just the best in the business. Have a good week,
mate. Thank you, Brad. That's very kind of you. I look forward to talking with you next week. Ciao. So tell me, Brad, after that first game with South East Melbourne, did you think they were going to send out an SOS to Kyle Adnam?
After watching their bigs, mate, they might have gone for Dane Penaud.